Yes, yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back to the After the Bell Rings podcast 2. Working on part 2. Man, it's been a little minute. It's been about, I want to say 2-3 years since I last put down an episode. Honestly, I kind of missed the process. Kind of miss you guys. I miss my listeners. I miss you guys. Kind of touching base, checking on me. It's been a lot. It's been a lot of changes. So much that I have to catch you guys up on. Now, I'm a teacher. Now I am a high school teacher. When the last time I recorded an episode, the last time you guys listened, and by the way, thanks to you guys for listening over a period of time when I was not recording, not actively recording, but you guys still kept up with me. I appreciate it. But the last time I was actively recording, I was a director. I ran an after-school program at the YMCA. Long story short, COVID happened. And you know what? I'm going to give you guys some juice. Here's the real reason, and I'm going to do this from the wise perspective. This is going to be some juice. So COVID happened, and of course, all the gyms shut down. Every single last gym, it seemed like, shut down. Because obviously, having people in such close proximity, COVID was rampant. People were still learning about it. So as a precautionary measure, all of the gyms shut down. So as a staff, we were still working. We were still working for a period of time, but and just kind of preparing for things to come back. Because from our point of view, we were like, all right, things are going to come back. But when they didn't, they felt like, ooh, things are coming back. We got to make some changes. And one of those changes was obviously cutting back on staff. Staff is always the biggest line item in a budget. So they had to cut back staff. And it was everyone from directors who operated entire facilities to lower people on the totem pole, so to speak, like myself, who just ran simple programs. And again, from the wise perspective, they had to let me go because if you remember, go back a couple episodes, there was my program also ran a smoothie bar just for my teenagers. We ran a smoothie bar called Taffy and pretty successful. The reason they had to let me go from their perspective was, this is crazy, in my desk. I had a desk, but I did not have keys to my desk. Inside the desk, they found a wad of money. And assumed that I was taking money from the program. But I'm like, I did not have keys to said desk. How can I be taking money from the program? They couldn't confirm that. So they kind of pinned it on, all right, COVID's happening, let's shut down. After that, I spent a decent amount of time just trying to adjust to, like anybody else. You're inside for a long period of time. Nobody's going outside. I mean, you go outside and it's like 5 people on the road. I live in Jacksonville, Florida. Decent metropolitan city, and there's nobody on the road. Everything was shut down. So living inside and just trying to come to grips with all this, like, how am I going to make ends meet? Got a baby coming up. We got a baby on the way. And just trying to figure out how I am going to make money with a child coming into this world. It was a lot. Staying with my girlfriend and her family, it was it was a lot. Eventually, tried out a couple sales jobs. Learned a lot from those two. Did work with. I was inside of Walmart selling DirecTV, and then I was did a little summer gig. I was with Vivint selling door to door. Went to Arizona and was selling security systems to all the nice folks out there. So anybody listen to me out in the Phoenix area. It's hot out there. It's hot as Hades. Arizona is the only place where it actually feels like when you walk outside, it feels like you just walked into an oven. All the time. It feels like you walked into an oven. But it was good because, like, there's a lot of light. I think I would wake up at 5 o'clock every morning and the sun would already be shining on my face. Sun would already be looking at me in my face. But I had a good time there. So eventually came back. That gig happened. Summer was over. Came back home. And my girlfriend was working as a administrative assistant. I dare not say secretary. She was an administrative assistant. The principal's administrative assistant, to be specific. And she told me about an opening as a TV production type of teacher. I was like, yo, this is cool. I worked with teenagers at the Y. So I was already kind of used to working with the demographic, but oh boy, y'all are in for some stories, but more on that later. So I was used to working with that demographic, and my major in college was communications, specifically broadcast journalism. I did 8 years at a TV station. So look, this was right in my wheelhouse. It's a perfect marriage of the two things that I was used to dealing with the most. Took that, and two years later, I'm still in this thing. So after the Bell Rings podcast, part two, we talking about what really goes on inside of Florida's classrooms. Mom, dad, grandma, teachers, boy, we got some stories for you. I wanted to introduce you guys to my co-host, because I'm not doing this thing by myself. Gonna make it a little more juicy, a little more spicy for you guys. So my co-host is my girlfriend. This is Hillary Taylor.
Hello.
Yeah. So she's the one that's held me down through all the career changes, the current craziness inside the classroom, because essentially that's the value. That's what we're going to be delivering to you guys, is just letting you know what really goes on inside some of these classrooms. I'm 36. I grew up in the 90s. I was in high school between 2000 and 2004. Man, a lot's changed. Mom, dad, a lot has changed. Community, a lot has changed.
Yeah, myself.
This ain't clapboards in the back of the school.
What's clapboards?
Huh?
What's clapboys?
Clapboards.
Clapboards.
Or like clapping erasers.
Oh, I'm not that old.
Anybody over the age of 35, remember we used to clap erasers in the back of the school?
I'm sorry, I grew up during the time when it was dry erasers. I'm not that young, you guys, you know, 33.
Are you?
Yeah, well, I will be. Hold on. I think I'm turning 33 this year.
That's when you know you get old. You don't even know how old you're turning. These numbers mean nothing to me.
They don't.
It's like kids in math class. These numbers mean nothing.
But yeah, we grew up with with Expo markers and whiteboards. Oh.
Y'all grew up with Expo markers and whiteboards?
Yeah, I don't remember chalkboards.
You've never had a chalkboard?
No, I don't think so.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Projectors.
You do not know the joy of having, like, chalk dust under your fingernails.
I don't want to know the joy. It's okay. But, you know, now everything really? Is technology-based.
So, you don't remember, yo, so for anybody who can relate.
35
I'm,
plus.
I'm 30. I'm 36. I went to a Catholic school in Indiana. We had, so money might have been an issue. I don't know. So, I remember when we were writing cursive. Ooh, remember that?
Yes,
they
I do know how
do
to.
That now.
Yeah, they don't. Teach your kids how to write, how to sign their names. Oh, very gosh. Important. A signature. All right. Sorry, babe.
So we had these things. Now, if you can imagine, everybody out there in podcast land, if you can imagine a narrow strip of wood that you can easily fit in the palm of your hand, maybe half the size of a ruler, same shape as a ruler, wooden. But maybe 8 inches long or so. And then coming out with, imagine three metal pieces that each held a piece of chalk.
Oh, I know what those are.
You are old.
I was like in probably like primary school when those came out.
Like elementary?
Mm-hmm. We were probably in middle school by that time. But you know, that's anything I do.
Probably. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it, so it is very much here. So yeah, we used to put chalkboards in the holders, and then your teacher would draw that line across the board to get you to do cursive, and then she might erase the middle line to make it look like the dotted line. You remember that?
You old.
Either you young or your memory is bad.
No, but when we learned how to write on cursive, we had little papers, and you would trace, you know, like kids trace the letters.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I learned how to write cursive, like tracing out the cursive letters. And then we would have like a blank piece of paper, like the little with the lines on there. And then you practice each letter on paper. We weren't using chalkboards.
So we did that too.
But we did chalkboards solely on that paper.
Oh, yeah, my schooling was a little more diversified. We had paper and chalk.
You know what? That's private school for you, you know? I went to public school, okay? Product of public school education here. I wanted to mention also, maybe this is kind of going back, when you mentioned that I was a administrative assistant.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't getting paid as one. How my roles have now changed.
Yes.
Yes.
Message.
Yeah. Hashtag message. So now I am a teacher. And I think that'll be an interesting part. Sorry to get our topic off of this. Because we are both teachers and we just happen to work at the same school. So I think that adds a little bit of more, you know. Like how y'all work together and live together.
Oh, we didn't just so happen to work together. I don't know how you just so happen to work together.
I don't think a lot of people work with
Eric. Yeah, but it's not just so happened I think it would be just so happened if we worked together and then were together.
Okay, got it.
We were together and then worked together.
Got it. You know how we just got off topic? Your kids be doing the same thing when they be in class. All right? Don't judge us.
Oh, 100%. 100%. That is something that I feel like does not go away with time.
It doesn't. So, Bay, Mr. Barnes, I will be professional on the podcast, Mr. Barnes.
All right.
Tell the people in podcast land.
Is this you reading off of?
Mm-hmm.
You got questions?
Mm-hmm. This is us getting back. Just getting back at it, all right?
Okay.
What can they expect? Okay. From after the bell rings. What can they expect now?
Y'all, you would not, unless you're in this profession, And some of you, even if you are, you would not believe the stories, the things that your kids do in these classrooms. Good and bad, but the things that your kids do in this class, the things that these teachers do in these classes, we're going to give you teacher perspectives. We're going to give you student perspectives. So you know, I think as a, before I was a teacher, and this is a little tougher for me because our son is not even in school and I'm a teacher. I think it's different for you because your kids were in school.
Yeah.
Then you became a teacher.
Yeah.
So you can see things from both sides. I think I would not be able to see things from both sides.
You think you'll just have like a teacher perspective on everything? Because
I think as long as I'm in school, as long as I'm teaching when he's in school.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that. So maybe that'll be the balance between the both of us.
Yeah.
I can be kind of like that parent perspective of it. Yeah. I can see that. And you was talking about like the stuff that goes on like in the classroom. Not only that, but the conversation that the kids are willing to have with their teachers sometimes, to where you kind of just like say what now? Not even right. Bad conversation.
Yeah.
It's literally like life conversations, what they're going through, and they just feel comfortable sharing that information.
Yeah, because I'll be honest. I was in a Catholic elementary school and a Catholic high school. So Catholicism all the way up until college. I never had the kind of relationship with my teachers.
Yeah, that the students have.
That the students have with us.
Yeah.
Like, I would never, because I didn't feel comfortable going to my teachers and telling them about anything that happened in my personal life.
Yeah.
I don't think they asked. And even if they did, just knowing their personality and how I was able or not able to relate to them, that wasn't even thought of.
Honestly, I don't think I related to any of my teachers. All my teachers were old.
Yeah.
And by old, I mean they probably started, they was 40 or older. Heck, some of them taught my parents, my mom, and my dad.
Yeah.
So it was just like, it's like having a conversation with your grandma. That ain't cool. And then when we're teaching the kids in high school, you know, we teach in high school. I don't think we said that, but our kids, like most of our kids, their parents are our age now.
Yeah.
Like I've had a few kids like, how old is your mom? Oh, 30, 32, 30. Come on, the same age as me. So I think that dynamic, people probably get into education early. Well, you know, I think those teachers back in the day probably got into, I don't know what the difference is, but your kids are very comfortable. Sometimes a little too comfortable. Like, I really don't need to know this. But I think, to me, that means so much because we have so much influence, I think, that we don't realize also. I like to use the conversations that my girls have with me as life lessons. And I just hope when they, you know, when they turn, when they're my age, they're just like, you know, I remember my high school teacher, Miss Taylor. She kept it real with me, you know. So just having that is important. Oh, what else? So we got some stories for you all. What else you got in your pocket, Mr. Barnes?
And I want to keep this as light as possible, but informative as possible. But what I also would love to do is, since we're in public education, I want to give you guys some real juice on, and talk to administrators, maybe talk to people at the state level. I'm going to make that my goal. I'm going to get in touch with somebody at the state level just to figure out why they make some of the decisions that they do. Mm-hmm. Because the decisions that they make, they affect everybody. They affect us as teachers. They affect you as parents. They affect the community, because a lot of the things that they, a lot of the legislative decisions that they make ultimately determine the growth of a community. They determine how your kids are going to learn in order to assimilate into society. So if you're an employer, you know, like, you're dealing with a certain type of new hire. You have to know how to communicate with that new hire. Know their strengths, know their weaknesses, know their background, so you can relate to them to know how to get the best out of them. And these legislators at the state level are very, very, very key in all of that. Mm-hmm. So I want to give you guys some juice and get in touch with some state legislatures and have them tell it like it is. Have them tell it like it is. We're not sugarcoating nothing. I don't want to hear the PC version. No, tell me like it is. Mm-hmm. Don't hold nothing back from me. Tell me why. Tell me why. Don't lie to me. Don't lie. You ain't got to lie, Craig.
You ain't got to lie.
You ain't got to lie.
You ain't got to lie, Craig. You ain't got to lie. All right.
Don't tell it like it is.
Also, we discuss not just getting our perspective, you know, bringing in some other educators. We have a few. I think I would like to think that Micah tends to come from a family of educators.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. You know what? I found out. You know, I don't know much about my dad's side of the family, but I did find out that my grandfather, his dad, was actually a retired teacher.
Really?
Yeah. Did not know that. And he taught history also. Yeah.
It's
so
in the family.
Yeah. Peep game. So bringing in those educators, you know, to get their perspective, because our perspective might be a little bit, you know, different from theirs, depending on what type of school you're in versus Title I versus a non-Title I school, public school versus a private school. You know, here in Florida, we have magnet schools. So and what's the other charter schools?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So getting all of those education perspectives, our end goal is also to educate you as the listener, as a parent, a guardian, a educator, you know, just giving you some tools that you can use also. It's funny because, yes, we're new in this game. Micah, this is Mr. Barnes's, second year, bae?
I can beat Micah.
Micah, you cool? Okay. You know, I ain't know, you know. Podcast, I was gonna be professional, but this is Micah's second year.
Yep.
Teaching
second year.
Yeah. And this is my first year. Now, in my mind, being the oldest sibling, I would like to consider myself a lifelong educator.
Why is that?
Because everybody learns lessons from the older sibling. So, you know, using our past experience and bringing it into the classroom, that might help some people that's only been in the classroom and they don't have any other outside perspective also. They're so, like, I don't want to sound offensive, but kind of narrow-minded because they only know one thing. But, you know, bringing in our outside experience into the education field, I think that helps us out a lot, especially in our classroom.
We're going to say a lot. We're going to give you guys a lot of stories. My favorite word is a lot of juice. I'm going to talk to some educators. But I also want to hear from you. And we'll figure out, as a matter of fact, right here, I'm going to edit away to hear from our listeners, whether it's a call in line, a text in line. So be on the lookout or the listen out for that, because we definitely want to hear what you guys think and connect with you. But right now, we're going to go ahead and go to a break because we're in the car and it is hot. So I'm going to roll down the window while you listen to an ad.
I like that.
We want to hear from you, good, bad, or indifferent. What do you think about the episode? Got anything to contribute? Got any juicy stories of your own? We're going to put a link so you can contact us and we'll even put your voice message on the show. And I'll be live. We ain't got that capability yet. we gonna put you on the show. We'll put your voice message on the show. So whatever you gotta say, we'll post a link so you can speak your piece. We'll be doing this thing every other Thursday. We'll catch a new upload every other Thursday. Again, interviews, stories from administrators, stories from teachers, stories from parents, stories from the kiddos, elementary, middle, high, and
college. We can probably find, some. Hey, if you're in college and you got a story that you want to tell us, they can leave us a message. That can work. Okay. We'll make it work.
We'll make
things happen.
So to end this first episode, we're gonna wrap things up with a quote. Yes.
Welcome back, by the way.
Wrap it up with a quote. Yep.
Say that. Welcome back.
To me or to them?
To you. Oh. And to them. But to you.
You gonna read the quote?
Yes. So Les Brown is probably one of my most favorite. Can I say that right? Y'all, I'm a history teacher and an English teacher.
I was gonna say
most favorite, right? Yeah.
I had a teacher who said, this is from the Department of Redundancy Department. And you all be like, what?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like I just anywho. So Les Brown is probably one of my most favorite motivational speakers. Yeah, of all time. I love some Les Brown. And we're talking about all of these. At the beginning of the episode, you heard Michael talk about his career change and that shift. So he had a quote, and it says, you are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. And I think that's probably like one of, as an educator, getting that to our kids. Like, you can start over anytime. You know, the path of life has many curves, ups and downs, and your journey not going to be anybody else's journey. But you can always make a shift, make a change, and have a new goal, set a new dream. Every year I come up with new goals, you know, whether that's, now me sticking to them goals, that's a whole different story, right? But I do give myself, you know, new goals. So that's a good reminder. If you're a parent out there, you're thinking, I think I can might be an educator, you know, kind of see what's going on. Yep. You know, you're never too old to set a new goal for yourself or a new dream. Honestly, I just finished my bachelor's degree this summer. So, whoop, 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 whoop. So I tell my students, like, literally a few months ago, I was in your place. So, yeah, just leaving you with that quote. We'll end out each episode with a quote.
First episode, how are we going to sign out? Honestly, I don't remember how I signed out the last time.
I had a separate podcast. Yeah, me either. You know what? This is what we want you to do. Leave us a closing line or quote.
Okay.
Let the people decide. Yeah. How we should end out these episodes. I think that works.
Somebody just gonna be like, bye.
That'll work.
And that'll do it.
All right. Until next Thursday, have a great day. All right. Good.
Yep.
All right.
Deuces.
Peace.